Portions of this program, may be pre-recorded.
The other thing in Virginia, you know, I did an update the other day. You can check it on my Facebook page or Twitter if you don't follow me, at GF Radio Show. So I'm going to do a Trump campaign update by video every couple days. But we got a shot to make this very competitive in Virginia, because right now our polls got us down by about 4. It's been very consistent, 3 to 5 the whole time. Not the fake polls, say that we're down by 11 or 10 or 15, or the Roanoke College poll or CNU saying we're down by 27 or that nonsense. We're down by 4, but we've got a massive ground game. I got to give a shout out right now to a couple people. Number one, I got to give a shout out to Justin Rice, who was our state director in Virginia. This fellow is actually one of the best state directors in the country. Young guy, up and comer, boundless energy. No drama, all production, puts his shoulder to the wheel, has assembled a really great team. They're very young. Riley Mahoney, his deputy director, he's assembled a really great team of workers. And there's just no nonsense that goes on. In Virginia, our production per person, per capita, or per paid employee, outpaces 50 states. Leads the country. Every time we have a contest, they win. Doesn't matter how many paid people they have. I mean, they got a dozen paid staff here. Other states have got 150, and he leads in production because it's just no nonsense. And his whole team is that way. We got 6,300 trained volunteers. By the time November 3rd comes, they will have knocked on 750,000 doors. I want you to digest that. 750,000 doors. They're getting a 37.5% answer rate, which is double what you normally get on a door-knocking campaign. So almost 40%. So you think of that, 40% of 750,000. I mean, that's over 300,000 people they've actually talked to in their living room or on their front porch or at their door. They will have contacted 3 million voters. Only 4.5 million are going to vote. They've already contacted 2.5 million. They got another 500,000 to go, either by phone. And I'm talking about a robocall. I'm talking about peer-to-peer, a peer-to-peer text. Somebody answers the phone, contact, an email where you get a response back. 3 million. There's only 4.5 million voters, max. So they would have contacted 3 million voters in Virginia. This is the greatest ground game. It's the biggest untold story in the country of what these young people have done, led by my director, Jason Rice. Great leadership in our regional general, Jason Simmons, who's over Virginia and North Carolina. He's done a fantastic job. You really got to hand it to these young folks. And Justin Rice has got a tremendous career ahead of him. It's because it's no drama, all production. I mean, you go through these state campaigns, you get all kinds of drama. We have had none of that. Zero. All they do is work and get things done. We're going to shock the country in Virginia. I'm not predicting victory, but here's what I am predicting. It's not going to get called on game day. Virginia is not going to get called. They're going to have to wait until the phony mail-in ballots come in, and we're going to have to verify them. And right now, you know, we're probably within 2, I think, if we, right now, I would say we're very competitive. And it's going to be a very tight race. But hats off to Justin Rice and his team. John Frederick's Radio Network, Truck the Truth Across America. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The John Frederick Show.
And he's with us now. Steve, great to have you, man.
Thanks, John. Good to be on.
Let's start with the Bo Bielinski interview on Tucker Carlson yesterday. Does this finally break the silence of the fake news?
I don't think it does. I mean, it was so stunning to hear this and the allegations and Biden lies. I mean, this is now remember, I say there's no conspiracies, but there are also no coincidences. This is why Biden's been off the campaign trail virtually, except for three or four very small events with no real press avails since the New York Post broke this story now almost 2 weeks ago. And last night you saw, because the Bidens have no answers for this. And quite frankly, this guy walked through in detail just the outright lies Joe Biden told. Remember, this is not about Hunter Biden. This is about Joe Biden. And really, Bo Bielinski summed it up last night. He said they're compromised. They're compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. Two things happened yesterday. Raheem Ghassam in the hard drive finally started getting into the audio and released Hunter Biden talking about how Patrick Ho and his chairman Yu, the Chinese energy company, were Chinese spies. And these guys knew it. I mean, he was actually talking on the phone with somebody. He self-recorded himself, put it on his computer, and he's very blatantly talking about Patrick Ho as the chief of Chinese spies and how Chairman Yi is a Chinese intelligence asset, just openly. And then we found from Bo Bielinski last night that Hunter Biden was the personal lawyer, signed a $1 million retainer to be the personal lawyer to Chairman Yi, someone that he thought was a member of Chinese intelligence. The revelations are so stunning. But here's the thing for your audience, that I think we're entering a period of real danger. I talked to some of the biggest, grassroots conservative organizations last night, and they're already telling me that they're not able to communicate on Facebook like they would, because Facebook won't take any ads, right? They cut that whole thing of cutting it down 10 days before before Election Day. And if you look at the mainstream media last night, because I know most of these guys, none of the mainstream media touched Bo Bielinski's, interview at all. You don't see CNN, you don't see MSNBC, you don't see NBC News, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. Complete silence. Whether you love Trump or hate Trump, this is major news. And I got to tell you, because this is not going to go away. Whether President Trump wins re-election on next Tuesday, or the Biden forces are able to steal it somehow, the revelations that Bo Bielinski went through are going to go far past November 3rd. I mean, this shows a major, major, major breakdown of American intelligence, American national security. This is one of the things I've been harping on for a long time, is that how can people focus on Russia, and how can they just go Russia, 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 when China is an existential threat? The Chinese have infiltrated every part of American life with their cash, the Chinese Communist Party, whether it's Wall Street, whether it's corporate America, whether it's our cultural institutions, whether it's the Vatican, or now the permanent political class. And you absolutely see the brains of the operation of Joe Biden's brother, James Biden, mm-hmm. who literally has a industry set up to monetize access to a vice president of the United States and a potential president of the United States. And when confronted by the guy who's supposed to be the outward-facing guy in running this, the guy, really the honest guy who they put in an interview and make sure that he's the guy that can actually get things done, he's a naval officer, former naval officer with a very high security clearance. He asked James one time, he says, how do you, with all what you're doing, how do you expect to not get dinged by the intelligence community of this? And James Biden says plausible deniability.
Right.
Now, plausible deniability is a haunting term. That is the term that came right from the tapes of Watergate.
Right.
That was the entire situation. That's why Richard Nixon did not finish his second term. The whole concept there was plausible deniability, which is a term of art for people in positions of authority to have just enough room to be able to spin away from what their actions are. So Biden has now shown, I think, in the last 2 weeks, because of the hard drive, because of the 26,000 emails that Peter Schweitzer is coming out, because of Bo Bielinski's affidavit and others, just say it's a family that for many years, and this is what the permanent political class does. This to me is a great lesson, because I keep saying there's no conspiracy. This is the business model. This is how the system works, and you're seeing how the system works. I think you're starting to see people being shocked. There was a thing on TikTok last night of a young woman who, has got blue hair and she's on a plane, and I'll send it to you, John. But she says she hates Trump, has always hated Trump, thought when Trump was elected in 2016 it was the end of America, and she just announced she had I voted pin, and she just said, I just voted for Donald Trump. And she said, everything that came out on this laptop, everything she's seen about Biden, she just can't support a guy that looks like it has this much corruption, plus all these personal family problems, all these issues. So It's definitely getting huge traction. It's the number one story, even with the suppression. And suppression because of the Streisand effect, which is, you know, what you try to cover up on the internet actually gets a bigger audience. It's out everywhere. That being said, you don't see the mainstream media covering this at all. In fact, last night, after those massive revelations of Joe Biden just lying to the American people and using his office for personal gain, and not just that, it's not just the personal gain, it's actually being in business with people that they know are enemies of the United States, the Chinese Communist Party, at the highest levels. To know that, and the media won't cover it. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen, next Tuesday is going to be something unique in American history. So strap in, okay? Because the oligarchs in Silicon Valley are going to be against you. The mainstream media is going to get against you. I mean, CNN and these guys right now are not even making any pretense of objectivity. This is information warfare at its highest and most brutal level. So I would be prepared to be strapped in next week.
We're going to do an event in Richmond between now and Friday where you can come down and basically outline this and, you know, invite the media, Chris. They're not going to come. You know, we'll get the star there. But Steve, is there going to be an accounting, in fact, that we have it now, a free media in the country that's deciding not to cover the story because it hurts their candidate and doing it in conjunction with each other? It's everybody. It's USA Today, it's Gannett, it's McClatchy, it's Washington Post, LA Times, Tribune Company, everybody, MSNBC, everybody.
There's no more right and left, really. There's no more conservative and progressive. You're now getting, I think, to the point of you're seeing populist nationalist versus globalist. And what you have is the corporate media is the propaganda wing or the information wing of the globalist program. And this is not a conspiracy. It's just the way the system works. And they're not prepared to give it up. And they're particularly not prepared to give it up to people that they think are not worthy of it, not smart enough. And that would be the deplorables or Lao Beijing in China. This is why we do this broadcast, to try to unite these people and understand the commonality of their existence and the commonality of their potential, the commonality of their nobility, and the commonality that we've got to win. But here's the only way you're going to change it. You're going to have to win. If you win, you've got a chance to change it. If you don't win, you're going to have a resistance movement that is really going to have to hunker down. But I can tell you, over the last 3 weeks, I don't think we've had better tells than what the oligarchs in Silicon Valley have in mind, and now their combination with the mainstream media. It's very haunting that I think a month and a half ago on one of my shows, Miles Guo said he listened to the five weapons the Chinese Communist Party have, which is one of the most powerful entities on Earth, with a massive nuclear arsenal, huge military. And he said their number one weapon is social media. And to deal with working with these Chinese expatriates over the last couple of weeks, every American should find most chilling, because these people, to a degree, have a very eyes of wonder look of freedom and you know, democracy, and this is what they're aiming for to turn China into. And I've had so many of those people that work so hard, expatriates from Australia to New Zealand, Canada, the United States, tell me the firewall in America is almost as powerful as the firewall in China. That you just literally just, they just, because they see this information is out there, and they see the mainstream media that won't cover it, social media that won't promote it, the takedown Kayleigh McEnany and the people at the White House. They have these people that, on President Trump's Twitter that say the information is not correct. So it's pretty stunning, but people have to understand that what we're heading into is going to be a very rough ride. Because don't think for a second, given everything you're talking about the enthusiasm, in particular, I think you're seeing where the Democrats right now, at least as I see the numbers, now that could change, and you know, this thing changes hour by hour. As I see the numbers, you don't see the 18 to 29-year-olds, the 18 to 39-year-olds, particularly 18 to 29-year-olds. You just don't see them showing up in the early voting or the absentee voting like I think the Democrats intended to. But that being said, don't think there's any easy path to victory here. It's not going to be an easy path to victory. They're not going to give this up, and they're not going to – they under no circumstances, you know, it's Hillary Clinton's thing. They will not concede on this. They will not concede. Even a Trump victory, they will not concede. This will be, like I said, it'll be Stalingrad every day. So people have to be prepared.
Define not conceding. Trump wins on game day. Here's the pathway. He's going to win Florida, Steve. Everything we see exceeding expectations. Florida is going to get called. Forget the mail-in ballots. There aren't enough of them. Florida's going to get called. We're going to be ahead big in North Carolina. right? Then they start saying, well, we can't call Pennsylvania, can't call Michigan, can't call Minnesota, can't call any of these because of mail-in ballots. Okay, we get that. So he wins Georgia, wins Texas, wins all these states, up big, claims victory, ahead everywhere, and then the votes come in and there's not enough phony ballots.
They were going to go to court. Then you got to get into the certification of these ballots. Remember, every ballot, and you see the fights every day. We're going to try to get Bill McGinley back on today. And by the way, one of the reasons the show is, you know, I'm so proud of the show and our thing of the signal, not the noise, in tomorrow's news today. Everything McGinley talked about in the 10 o'clock hour yesterday all happened last night.
Right.
Right, these lawsuits. And so, no, I think the president, strongest recommendation is walk in the Oval Office at 10 o'clock, tweet, dare the media to cover it, declare you're the winner, and then let's get it on, right? And then if a ballot has been sent by mail and it meets all the requirements of what that state lays out, it should be, and the courts have backed that up, it should be certified, that vote counts. Absolutely. You have to count it for those votes. If there's one scintilla of difference in that, then it's not certifiable, right? And that's why the Trump campaign and the Trump movement and the Republican Party have got to have the right people in those canvassing rooms, the right people in those counting rooms. No better example of this than what happened in Lynchburg, right? No better example of this of how they're going, the Democrats and the progressives are going to try to dominate these canvassing rooms.
Yeah, because the Republicans didn't have anybody there, and to get around the law, and we did a big story on this in the Virginia Star, to get around the law, they had Democrats change their party affiliation to unaffiliated at the last minute. Therefore, they said, oh, we're unaffiliated now, even though these were hard-in-the-wool Democrats. So we didn't have any people there. And so they're counting votes with no Republicans. I mean, give me a break. This is why we need people. Hey, look, if you're in Virginia, we need your help. And you can get paid, be a poll watcher, election worker. All you got to do is email my deputy director, Riley Mahoney, riley.mahoney@gop.com. Riley.mahoney@gop.com. She will plug you in.
Listen, the presidential campaign could come down to Virginia 2 and Virginia 7. If you flip those districts and flip the delegation of Virginia to the Republican category, I still believe, as I see tonight, and look, I love your enthusiasm, but I tell people, run through the tape here. You have to run through the tape because every vote's going to matter here. Like in Florida, you got to be honest. The Trump campaign's just out of cash, right? They're out of money. And they're coming down in Florida. They corrected the Bloomberg story yesterday to get more accurate. But you see this morning that Bloomberg's putting $15 million into Texas. These guys have a massive financial advantage over us, and they're going to flood the zone to try to get low-propensity voters out there in the next 6 days. That is something we have to run through the tape. Nobody can lean on a rake here and think we got this because we're having car rallies. That's all great. And
you got to put your shoulder to the wheel, but I tell you what,
everybody can run all the
TV ads and social media ads they want. They can do that. We got the ground game, and I mean, that's our advantage. We have used that. That's why everybody's got to get involved in this thing in the final 6 days. Steve, I just want you to shut your eyes a minute and go back in history. Here we are, October 28th, 2016. You're in Trump Tower. I'm in Trump Tower. Ann's there. There was only a handful of us that thought he was going to win. You were one of them. If you go back in time...
You are my only guy. The John Frederick's origin myth, origin narrative, is that he was the only guy to show up for our radio row. We had a radio row on the 14th floor. Our big idea, let's get conservative radio, talk radio there. One guy shows up.
I was there for 5 days.
That's when he came to Oracle the Deplorables right then.
Ann and I were there for 5 days. We had to get Brian Lanza, who was on your team, Brian Lanza, really a great guy. He had to get up every day at 4:30 a.m. to escort us in at 5:15. But if you go back, October 28, 2016, how do we compare today, 2020, to 2016, same time frame?
It's going to be a tough fight. People should not look. If we win in a landslide, God bless us. But we should assume right now we're behind and we've got to drive this hard in everything. And I think certain areas are popping up where this is going to be critically important. That's why I think the Biden laptop from hell, I think heavily Catholic Wisconsin and heavily Catholic Northeast Pennsylvania could be two central things of this. We also have to hold Georgia. We also have to hold Arizona. I think glorious ACB is going to play a very big role in that, not just the Supreme Court. I think she's going to bring home some establishment Republicans. Once again, we have to have all the establishment Republicans, or many of them, come back, particularly in Arizona, particularly some of the Mormon population that follows Romney and the people that follow Sidney McCain. So Arizona, we don't want to get a surprise on election night that Arizona or Georgia somehow slipped through our grasp. So, and remember, we're running against a huge financial advantage of the Democrats right now. Forget how we got here. That'll be adjudicated later. But right now, the fact is that they have overwhelming financial resources and are literally flooding the zone. That being said, I've always looked at the polling, I think, is best at the congressional district level. And, you know, we saw movements. That's why you remember how confident I was that we could do this, because I could see this thing moving our way. Right now, I do think you're having Trump momentum, but it's still it's going to get down to ground game and low propensity voters. It's going to get, this is going to be door to door, and it's going to be people, you know, the Trump movement and Pay Chase and the RNC, who I think is Ron and these guys have done a great job with the ground game and particularly the databases we have to get every vote out there. Everybody in this audience ought to understand something. Right now, you're an incredibly powerful force multiplier in two regards. You should be spending every hour of your day pushing out on social media, pushing out to your friends, pushing out to people you know. All of these stories are coming out about the hard drive and other things about Trump's momentum. You should just be put, you're a force multiplier there, right? Number one. Number two, it's 10 for 20. You know, the sponsors of your show, go there or go anywhere. If you as an individual can bring 10 people, right, to make them vote, particularly low propensity people and maybe disengaged. And all people have to do is look at what the corporate media is doing on Philadelphia. You know, there are major riots around the nation over the last 24, 48 hours that is not being covered by corporate media because they realize that's going to play badly, right? And they don't want to show it. So you can be a force multiplier of media. Every person out there is as important as any time in history to combat the information warfare of the mainstream media. That's number one. Number two, your force multiplier on where this is going to be decided is on the ground, not by commercials. It's going to be decided on the ground. And that's where every individual, you can work a phone bank, you can go knock on doors, you got 6 days. And trust me, this is, you know, don't believe the mainstream media that's over because, you know, 80 million people have voted. There's a lot of voting to go here. There probably, I think right now, it could be 150 million votes cast, which would be stunning, or maybe even more. So everybody out there has just got to get to work. You got 6 days, and we can't, if you love your country and you want to keep this as a republic, and you see the tech oligarchs, the mainstream media, the corporate, this, the Wall Street factions, right, who are now openly aligned with the Chinese Communist Party. Remember, Ant, the financial firm started by Jack Ma and Alibaba, just raised $34 billion, much of it coming from your audience, the deplorables, pension funds, insurance policies. So this, we're at the very early stages of this revolt against the globalists. And if we win on Tuesday, we'll be able to take this fight another day. If we don't win on Tuesday, and that'll be because of people's efforts, then we're going to have a much longer and tougher fight.
See, we got 6 days. When are you going to do Vox Populi?
You tell me. I'm available 24/7. I'm doing speeches nonstop. I'm contacting the.
I think I go up.
The John Frederick Radio Network has got the most powerful connection with the deplorables. Starting from those 5 days, you came in at 5:15 in the morning. We had to let you in the building, especially Brian Lanza. That's where the legend started, John. So I'm available to use anytime.
Let's do. Let's come to the embassy. Let's do. You want to do 3 to 6 on Friday?
I'll do whatever you want to do. 3 to 6 on Friday, done.
Book. All right, done. Good. Vox okay. Populi, Steve Bannon taking calls 3 to 6 on Friday, taking your calls on the John Fredericks Radio Network. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. I'll see you on Friday at the embassy.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. It is one of the most closely watched congressional races this year. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham and Democrat challenger Jamie Harrison making their closing arguments as that heated contest enters the final stretch. Both have spent the weekend crisscrossing the state on bus tours, and Monday both plan campaign-ending rallies in their respective hometowns. President Trump and Joe Biden racing across the nation in the final hours. The president campaigning in four states Monday, Biden will be in Pennsylvania. The organizers of a Get Out the Vote rally in North Carolina that ended with police pepper spraying and arresting participants planning another march on Election Day. Man says authorities will be there, he's sure, and they pepper sprayed because people were blocking the road. This is SRN News.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
30% chance of showers and partly sunny skies today with high about 83. Mostly clear tonight through Tuesday night with a low around 50. It'll be sunny Monday through Wednesday with a high Monday 65 up to about 70 on Tuesday and around 76 on Wednesday.
When your family gets together, everybody's talking and laughing, usually standing in the kitchen, right? Families gather around food. The Madure brothers have put together a few restaurants based on that same concept. Families gathering around great food. Matthew's Restaurant in San Marco. Restaurant Madure in Ponte Vedra. Rue St. Marc in San Marco. Midtown Table, an Italian-inspired kitchen on Gate Parkway. And the three M Shack burger locations, Nocatee, Atlantic Beach, and Town Center. Whatever kind of food inspires you, the Madure brothers have a place for you to gather. And just like with your family, all important decisions are made in the kitchen, not in a boardroom. Find out more at madurebrothers.com. Great food from our family to yours. WBOB welcomes the new talk show, The Charlie Kirk Show, every Monday through Friday from noon till 1.
My name is Charlie Kirk. I run the largest pro-American student organization in the country, Turning Point USA, fighting for the future of our republic. This election is a decision between preserving America as we know it and eliminating everything that we love.
Charlie Kirk, Monday through Friday, noon till 1 on AM 600 WBOB and FM 101.1.
The John Frederick Show.
Joining us now, Hogan Gidley. Hogan is the press secretary for Trump Pence 2020. Hogan, great to have you.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks so much for the time.
Hogan, everything moving in our direction. You know, there's an old saying, you don't want to peak too early, Biden did. You want to close at just the right time, Trump is. We got 7 days. The new Rasmussen poll out today, for the first time, actually shows the president in the lead nationally. That's like unheard of. If he's ahead nationally, he wins in a landslide. We're ahead in Pennsylvania. We're ahead in Florida. We're ahead in North Carolina. The numbers in Florida, stunning the early vote turnout we have in Republican areas. Tell us what's going on here, Hogan.
Well, the president's winning is what's going on. The message that's patriotic, it's unifying, it's uplifting, it resonates with the American people. We've seen record-setting success and record-setting time for all Americans, regardless of race, religion, color, or creed. The policies this president has put in place have literally improve the lives of all Americans. And the age-old question that Ronald Reagan asked years ago from that debate stage, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? 56% of the American people say yes, they are. Even Joe Biden had to admit, I guess those folks should vote for Donald Trump then. Thank you, sir. We are going to. This country deserves 4 more years of peace and prosperity with Donald Trump. We had it for the last 4. We can have it for the next 4. You just have to get out and vote.
If you get out and vote, you win. I mean, Hogan, it's as simple as that. We expect a big lead on game day. Tell us about that. Tell us about the early voting right now in Florida, because Florida's a pretty bellwether state, right? You look at the trends in Florida, it's going to probably extrapolate through Georgia and North Carolina, which is the spine of the campaign. We look at the early voting numbers in Florida. Here's what we see. Democrats way underperforming, Republicans overperforming. They had the early lead the mail-in ballots, the Democrats did. Now the Republicans are eating into that every single day. Plus, we know they're going to have a big game day turnout. What is going on there, and how does that relate to North Carolina, Pennsylvania?
We were down 19 points in Florida, 19, with the early voting. Now, we expected to be down, and we expected to be down by a lot because the Democrats have put every single egg into the absentee basket. What you're seeing, though, is a lot of votes being asked for, requested, but not turned back in because they don't have a turnout apparatus, number one. This administration, this president, this campaign does. We've made 10 million calls in the last week. We made 10 million in all of 2016. So that 19-point lead in Florida I was talking about in the last 7 days has gone down to 6. Now, I don't mean he's leading by 6. I'm saying he's leading by 6 in some of the early vote metrics. Now that thing is basically a dead heat because we have people in the field. We have excitement, though, and enthusiasm, though, for a candidate who's got the best message, he's got the best record, and he's got the best work ethic. He's going all over the country while Joe Biden sits down in that basement, pops up every once in a while. I guess his internal pollings over at the Biden campaign show that he has to really lock down Delaware because he sure spends a lot of time there. But other than that, I'm telling you, this looks good for us. It looks good in Michigan. Early voting numbers there. We expected a 80-20 split, Democrat to Republicans in early voting. It's closer to 50-50. Nevada looks good as well. North Carolina looks good, too. Internal polls have us winning or tied in all of the states needed to retain the White House. It looks like it's really going to be a successful campaign. But again, as you said and I've said already, you got to get your friends, you got to get your family, you got to get everyone you know, acquaintances, to get out and vote because Joe Biden is not going to protect your jobs, he's not going to protect your family, he's not going to protect the American way of life because he wants to remake this country. You saw that on the debate stage with the admission of locking down the country again. I mean, look, I know Joe Biden loves China. Don't get me wrong. We understand. He sent 3.5 million of our jobs to China. So I get he loves the communist regime over in China. But China, to copy them on their pandemic response, which was welding people shut inside their homes, I guess that's what Joe Biden's talking about, because we can't afford, not just financially, but from a health standpoint, to lock down this country again, and that's what Joe Biden's advocating for. And then also that he's going to end the fracking industry and then get rid of oil and gas altogether in 5 years? That's insanity. You can't run this country on gumdrops and rainbows and unicorn hair. It just doesn't work that way. You need oil. You need gas. And we're a net exporter of energy for the first time in decades, and we're not beholden to the whims of Russia and China and the Middle Eastern countries for prices to fuel our automobiles and heat and cool our homes. Joe Biden wants to take us back to that. It's a national security threat, his plan.
You got me on the hairs thing.
You can't. I'm sorry. It's a fact.
Stop laughing. Hogan Gidley with us, the National Press Secretary, Trump Pence 2020 campaign. Unicorn hairs are not going to do it. So I just want to get back to Florida. Democrats were up 19. They were up by 19% in the early voting, right? In the mail-in ballots. And the early voting came, and in 7 days you've cut that from Dems up 19 to Dems up 6 in Florida. If they're only up 6 with early voting and mail-in ballots, if they're only up 6 going into game day, they get crushed.
Not enough. It's not enough. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not enough. And a lot of the ads that are running in some of these states are how-to-vote ads. So people are like, wow, they're really putting up a lot of ads. Right, a lot of them are, how do I vote? Because people don't have a turnout apparatus like we do. 2.5 million volunteers across this country. Many of our folks on this campaign have been living in these states for 3 years, working on this, developing this. This is where, you know, the shoe leather campaign kind of works, because you can talk about voting all you want to. You can order an absentee ballot, but filling it out, you know, signing it, doing all the right things to get it to count, that's a much different proposition. You need a ground game. Joe Biden doesn't have it. But, I mean, it's indicative of him as a candidate. He doesn't go anywhere either. I mean, you know, he stays at home too. So it's very similar.
The ground game doesn't show up in any of the national fake news and narrative media polls. But then let's get to Michigan, where you said you expected early voting, mail-in and early voting there to give the Democrats an 80-20 edge. It's 50-50. How'd that happen?
Again, I think a lot of it is excitement, enthusiasm. A lot of it's what I said before, that they asked for the ballots and then they kind of waited to see. The debate happened, and you saw a place like Michigan, which is an energy-producing state, go, wait a minute. He just said he wanted to end my job. He wanted to send us into a depression. He wanted to, you know, allow foreign countries to dictate prices for oil and gas. What are you, crazy? I mean, that's what he said, and now he's trying to clean it up. Now, it's so funny. The press gives him a pass. He literally told you everything he wanted to do. I want to phase this out. I want to get rid of it. I want to get rid of it in 5 years, he said on that debate stage. And the press didn't really say much about it. Then all of a sudden, Pennsylvania was slapped in the face with it and went, wait a minute. No, Joe. We gotta work to stop all that nonsense. And then Joe comes out and says, No, I'm gonna keep energy and I'm gonna nuance my answer a million different ways to make it look like I really am for fossil fuels. Well, if that's the case, then all of his left is gonna be angry at him too. Look, the fact is this guy has embraced socialist ideology from Kamala Harris and from the others to try and make sure that this country doesn't look the same if he were elected, that this country is fundamentally changed into the image of socialism. We can't have that. We don't want that in this country. And for Joe Biden to continue to tell us that this nation hasn't ever lived up to its potential, that this nation is inherently evil, that it's the cause of the world's problems, is just gross. This country is the greatest place in the history of the planet. The president knows it. The president can talk about America's greatness because he believes in it. Joe Biden can't talk about it because he doesn't believe in it.
You know, Hogan, I love your enthusiasm. I just really have to say you did a great job when you were in the White House. You're a fabulous press secretary. Mm-hmm. But your level of authentic enthusiasm at 9:30 in the morning is just fantastic. And, I mean, it fires everybody up, because we know you don't lie. We know you're not blowing smoke. You know, the fact that Michigan is 50-50 when it should be 80-20, obviously that's good news. You know, what you said about the mail-in ballots is so on, too. Like in Virginia, for instance, right, where I'm chairman here, we've got 375,000, almost 387,000, almost 400,000 mail-in ballots that are outstanding, that people requested them have mailed them back. They only have a week to go. And historically, 20% of these mail-in ballots don't ever come back. Forget they're not accurate. They didn't check a box. They never come back. So we're seeing the same thing here. And Virginia's competitive. I know you guys came here one time. We're down. But I got to tell you, our ground game here, we're going to have knocked on 750,000 doors, 37.5% home rate. We'll have contacted 3 million voters. Only over 4.2 million people are actually going to vote in Virginia. Well, I've contacted 3 million of them. That's got to turn up someplace, right?
And it does. It's the same thing in Nevada, where, like, it's an 18-44, make up, you know, almost a majority of the electorate. They're underperforming in 18-44. Democrats are by 15%. I mean, they're not enthusiastic about Joe Biden. Look, I get it. The media doesn't like Joe Biden. They just hate Donald Trump. And I think a lot of Democrats don't like Joe Biden. They hate Donald Trump. But hating something isn't a motivating factor for votes. Loving something, wanting something to be better because you're for it, is what gets people out to vote. It's what gets people to fill out those ballots and put stamps and put them in the mail. Okay? Hating something just makes you want to stew and hate. It doesn't make you want to act. And so I think this president has done a good job outlining the incredible greatness of this America, of her people, and how we're going to get through coronavirus, that we're not going to lock down, but we're going to do this thing safely. That, to me, is the message that we've got to keep, that we've got to keep going forward.
Hogan Gidley, I know you got other obligations today. We're out of time. Hogan Gidley, the press secretary, Trump Pence 2020. Hogan, thanks for being with us. Thanks for your
thanks so much.
John Fredericks Radio Network. Hogan's a man.
And the John Fredericks Show.
Us now is Joe Edlow, Deputy USCIS. Great to have you with us, man. There's a lot of immigration policies that you guys are doing right now to protect the U.S. worker and to rise wages. Somehow immigration has gone off the radar screen in this campaign, not like it was in 2016. I was hoping to get you on for a couple of minutes, Director Edlow, if you could walk us through some of the things you guys are doing to raise wages and protect the U.S. worker.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing we're doing right now is making sure that the H-1B program is working the way that it was intended to work by Congress. If I can just give you a second of background, H-1B was created by Congress as a high-tech or a high-skilled visa for U.S. employers to fill needed gaps in their labor market and to stay competitive in the global economy. However, what we've seen are U.S. employers using these workers at the lower levels to suppress American wages and to keep Americans out of these competitive jobs, especially at the entry level. So we're talking about, you know, kids graduating from college or grad school, trying to get into these high-tech sectors or these high-skilled sectors. They're not able to because we're importing so much foreign labor. 85,000 new ones per year is what the cap is for under Congress, that's what they've created. So we're competing with those individuals. So, you know, there's a statutory provision for it. Can't change that. What we've got to do is make sure instead that we are enforcing the provisions of law and that we're keeping these employers honest. And that's what pretty much this reg and everything we're doing is all about.
You know how long we've been fighting this battle, Joe? And, you know, finally we have an administration, the Trump administration and the president that gets it. Joe Edlow, Deputy Director of USCIS. This is the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service. For years, we have been fighting these phony H-1B visas that basically are driven in Congress by Wall Street, Goldman Sachs donors that are looking for one thing, Joe. They want one thing. Cheap labor. That's it. They don't care about the U.S. worker. They don't care about kids coming out of college. And you always get on TV as, well, we need this so we can get oyster shuckers in Chesapeake Bay so we can get farm pickers in Ocala, Florida. But that was what, like you said, that was what it was designed to do. It was designed to, we have a shortage, you get people in, meet the labor shortage. Now what it's become is flood the zone with tech workers, other people, flood the zone, lower wages, take jobs away. We've had circumstances, Director Edlow, as you know, where U.S. workers at a higher wage had to train their foreign HB workers, train their replacements, and then get fired.
So let's talk about that one. That's one of the things we wanted to address here. Again, there's nothing illegal with a third-party contractor bringing in these workers and then contracting them out to other U.S. employers. But we've seen how distasteful it is, right? What we've done is we still want to make sure that there's a clear employer-employee relationship, that the person who is petitioning for the alien is going to be supervising them, providing them the tools of whatever they're going to be doing, giving them assignments, evaluating them, and actually being, as you would think in normal terms, an employer, an actual supervisor for these people. But in those instances where it's a third-party contractor that's using these employees to go to other employers, instead of the typical three-year visa, we're giving them 1 year. They can, of course, renew it, but we're giving them 1 year because that gives us the ability to check in and keep tabs on them to make sure that they are operating fairly, above board, and in compliance with the statutes, which unfortunately, we've seen a lot of abuse in that. And I you know, don't want to get into specifics, but you and I both know what we're talking about.
Well, exactly. When you look at the way this is done, Joe, how they've circumvented the system through this third-party hiring, you know, it's basically like a temp agency, right? I mean, that's how they're set up. And this has been the unholy alliance for a long time between Democrats that are looking for cheap votes, right? Get these people over here, get them to vote. And then Republicans that are looking for their donor-based cheap labor. It's been an unholy alliance. It's skated through Congress over and over and over. You got big-time lobbyists from Goldman Sachs and Wall Streets, and they're scouring the globe, looking at ways to bring down the cost of labor, which is at the direct expense of U.S. jobs. And for the first time, Joe, in my memory, for those of us that have been railing against this, for the first time we have an administration that understands how harmful this is to U.S. workers.
Now, I think you're absolutely right. We have been working very hard to protect the American workers through this and through other mechanisms. But, you know, what we have seen, I'll give you one example. You probably already know it, but in the last 6 or 7 fiscal years, the percentage of H-1B employees coming over that are in the tech industry, in the IT industry specifically, has grown almost 75%. Now, in that same time period, the U.S. labor market for IT workers has only grown from 2.3 to 2.9%. So the wages are not going up. The American workers are not being able to get into these jobs because they're being supplanted by the foreign workforce here that's going in there. So this is really what we're trying to deal with. And you know, ultimately, we've got to make sure, especially with this economy and with the recovering economy following COVID, we've got to make sure that employment opportunities are reserved for those that are here and that are eligible to work. To import foreign labor at this point just doesn't make sense unless it is a true specialty occupation. And that's why we've also tried to make it, we've updated the definition of specialty occupation to require the advanced degrees. You know, up until now, it's only, we haven't required it. We said, you know, pretty much you probably should have one, but it's just usual or typical. No, now we're saying you must have one because we want to see these people come over and be paid at the highest wage levels so that when the U.S. workers are there, they're staying competitive and they can get the same jobs and the same opportunities at all levels.
We're with Joe Edlow, Deputy Director for Policy with USCIS. That's the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service. Ken Cuccinelli, Acting Director of that. And Joe, you guys are doing a good job. When you came out with this new policy for HB1 visas, trying to reform it, restrict it, what kind of backlash have you gotten?
Well, you know, I can't get into specifics on the lawsuits, but we've already got a lawsuit filed against it. Just like everything else, you know, we do something, we put out our rationale for it, and we've got these.
And you get sued. It's unbelievable. Joe? We lost you. See if you can find Joe. See there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. No, you know, so we're trying to work through it. We have not been enjoined. We're going to move forward with this rule and continue to fight this lawsuit and everything else that comes our way.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you're fighting lawsuits, you're fighting the swamp, you're fighting Wall Street, you're fighting Goldman Sachs. I mean, you guys are fighting a lot of things out there, all in order to help the U.S. worker. All right. Deputy Director Edlow, just close your ears for a minute. So I want to just make a clean break here and make a campaign statement. But it's unbelievable to me, and Joe doesn't have anything to do with this piece of the conversation. It's unbelievable to me that the fact that what Trump has done for the U.S. worker and what his administration has done in restricting these HB1 visas and trying to bring wages up and protect U.S. jobs is not a centerpiece of this campaign. The fake news refuses to cover it because they're controlled by the globalists who control Wall Street, not the nationalists, not the populists like us trying to help workers. They're controlled by the globalist cheap labor, slave labor crowd. John Frederick's Radio Network with Deputy Director of Policy of USCIS, toughest acronym known to man, United States Citizenship and Immigration Service. Ken Cuccinelli runs that. My old nemesis battled him in the Cruz campaign, but we kissed and made up without the kiss. Joe Edlow is the Deputy Director of Policy with USCIS. Director Edlow, let's fission out here a second term. You're in the administration. You're going for. What's your long-term vision for reforming our HB1 visa program?
Well, for me, it's more about making sure that people are staying within the confines of the law. So what I want to see before we even think about, and I think we can all agree, getting Congress to change anything is not going to happen. So we've got to do it internally.
Right.
So I want to see additional regulations aimed at fraud deterrence and keeping these employers honest and making sure that wages remain high. So that's a multi-pronged approach that starts with what the Department of Labor has already done, and they've already been sued on it, to increase the wage levels for H-1Bs. But after that, when the petition comes to us and USCIS begins to adjudicate it, I envision our fraud detection and national security unit, which is essentially our investigators, go out and actually do site visits and investigate whether there is actually a need for the employers, on the employees rather, based on what we are being told. I want to be able to verify everything that we are being told before we adjudicate and before we ultimately make a decision if we're going to approve the visa or not. And I think that is the key. The more that we are out there understanding where these employers are coming from and what they are saying they need, we're going to be able to have a better sense of what's accurate, what's not, does this pass the smell test, and move forward that way. But that's just the first part. You know, I think there's a lot of other more technical issues within the program that we have the ability to reform. Our H-1B strengthening rule that I was just talking about is really just the first step. We tried to do that and a bunch of other things via memo, and we were enjoined and had to walk it back. And there are more technical things that we need to do within the H-1B program to really make it a sustainable program for the future and to avoid exactly what we were talking about in terms of the third party employers using this as just a contracting agency for cheap labor. You know, we've got to make sure that there is a clear employer-employee relationship, and that more importantly than anything, John, that USCIS is integrally a part of enforcing the law and enforcing this law and making sure that we're out there. So it's not just, we don't want anyone to think that it's a rubber stamp. And ultimately, if they ultimately want to, if Congress wants to get there and lower the cap, so be it. You know, we'll work within the confines of what we have, but, you know, I think we can make a program that benefits the American workers and that really does do exactly what Congress intended.
Director Joe Edlow, how long have you been there?
Well, interesting question. I have been in at USCIS. I joined in July of 2019 as the chief counsel. So I was the appointed chief counsel of the agency. And then when Ken Cuccinelli moved up to be the acting secretary, deputy secretary of the department, I stepped into the role to lead the daily operations of the agency. So back in February, I've been leading the agency since February through COVID, through our budget crisis and everything else.
You're doing a fantastic job, I got to tell you.
Thank you. I love
your vision and passion. It's been a lonely battle fighting this. I mean, when you're taking on the globalists and Wall Street and the gangster banksters and Goldman Sachs and everybody trying to get cheap labor, and then they, you know, scam it. And, you know, we had no allies for years. There were no allies. There was no allies on Capitol Hill because they didn't want to aggravate their donor base. I mean, it was sick what was going on. There are only a handful of us in the country that saw this. Man, I'm so happy you're there and you're doing a fabulous job in bringing light to this. And at the end of the day, all you want to do is give U.S. workers a fair opportunity to get a decent wage and not have to compete with the nonsense. And as you said, it's basically fighting the contract agencies for cheap labor. Joe, thank you for what you do. Thank you.
John,
excellent
job. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.